You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta...
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, mighty men, women of God, we thank God for you. We thank God for this wonderful prophetess and minister that we have in the house from Tennessee. Praise God. God is raising them up for the now, for such a time as this, and God is using them mightily, and I thank God for them. Glory to God and what he's doing in their life. Minister Alex and Apostle Celeste, we thank God for them. I'm gonna go ahead and get out of the way. We had them on yesterday, and praise God, and God had him to share a message about the now. He's in the process of writing a book about the now. Praise God. I believe that God does want to do things now. Sometimes we're the ones that's putting things off. Praise God, and putting things off down the road, and some things come by faith. Amen. I won't say some things, but faith comes by hearing, and a lot of times it's what we hear that keeps us locked into states that we're in. So go ahead, man of God.
And just taking all straight from that from yesterday. First of all, my name is James Smith. This is my lovely wife, Celeste. We've been married 7.5 months. She was the answer to my prayers. A lot of tears stopped falling when she told me she loved me on June 16th. So this is the woman of my dreams here. Hallelujah. All right. So with this here, we talked about Luke chapter 4 when Jesus came into the synagogue and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And the response to that was anger. This is what I'm going straight into it. You would think that if someone says that all the promises of God are now ready to come to pass, that the people that have been living off of those promises would be excited. Yeah. But religious tradition conditions us to wait. No, change my words. Religious tradition trains us to wait. You know those songs we grew up, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Jesus will fix it after a while. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Right? It's like, and all that stuff, it sounds so spiritual, but that's the problem. It sounds spiritual, but it's really religious. True spirituality is taking a look at what Jesus did and us lining up our lives to him. Jesus didn't make anybody wait for anything. You know, like we were talking about yesterday, you know, the only reason, the exception to that is Lazarus. But Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear him saying. The Heavenly Father told him to wait for Lazarus to die, and so he did. And then as soon as Lazarus was dead, the Lord said, he's dead. Okay, let's go. And the reason why Jesus did that, the reason why the Heavenly Father told his son to wait for Lazarus to die, was so that by the time Jesus got to the tomb, Lazarus' body was already rotting. His body was already decomposing and stinking. So he did that to show the people that the Son of God has power over death, even when death has already done its job and moved on to somebody else. Okay? With death has already done his job and moved on to somebody else. Lazarus is dead, rolled over in the tomb, wrapped up. His body's already rotting. Death is done. Jesus is like, not if I say he ain't.
Okay. And what made Jesus marvel?
And what? Yeah.
Faith.
Yeah, faith.
What pleases God?
Faith.
Faith.
Faith. And the thing is, we have to have faith that God is, that God wants us to have these things now. Because like you said, faith comes by hearing. Well, unbelief is faith in the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. The Lord showed me, well, actually my spiritual papa Rick Manis said one time, he said fear is devil worship. He said, because the Word of God says God will protect you, and fear says no, it won't. So basically, the Word of God is promising, the Word of God is making promises to you, and the enemy is making promises to you. And which one do you believe? Mm-hmm. Because unbelief is faith in the devil. Fear is faith in the devil. God's got promises. You don't believe those promises. You believe what the devil says. That's what my papa says. Spirit fear is a devil worship. And so what happens is that because faith comes by hearing, we've been trained to we've heard the wrong thing for so long, we just believe it because we keep hearing it. You know, the tradition of waiting, it sounds good.
And we don't always have now faith.
Correct.
According to Hebrews chapter 11, now faith.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, because faith is now. That's the difference. Faith is now, hope is future. That's why in the Old Testament it says hope deferred. That means your expectations put off. In Romans chapter 8, when you talked about hope, your hope is future tense. Faith is now. Faith turns your hope into the present tense. Okay? That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of your hope. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things that you're expecting to happen. So the difference is this. Hope says it's going to happen. Faith gives substance and makes it happen now. That's the difference between hope becoming now, the faith.
The necessary ingredient. You think of like a pancake batter. What's the substance? Well, the faith is the substance. It's the ingredient that brings that into the now.
Yeah, it's the ingredients that turn it from mush into a pancake that you can eat. You know, faith is part of that recipe. But the body of Christ has not been given the faith for now. We've been given the faith for later. That's why when John Avanzini said the greatest scandal in the church is not when the pastor runs off with the church secretary. It's not when the deacons, you know, shut the doors because the pastor says something you don't like. It's not that the trustees take the money and run. The greatest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens, because Jesus did not start that. When Jesus came, he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of tradition. And in the kingdom of God, there's no need to wait because the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. So if the answer to my prayers is Jesus, and Jesus is sitting right in front of me, why would I ask him for something? And he said, wait another 20 years. It doesn't make any sense. And so Jesus said, when the disciples said, you know, teach us to pray, the first thing you need to understand is God is Father. When we start understanding that God is our Father, a lot of the things that we've been raised to believe don't make sense anymore. Jesus said, if you earthly fathers are evil, who are evil, know how to be good to your kids, then how much more will the Heavenly Father? If our children came to us as parents and said they were hungry, we wouldn't tell them to wait 3 or 4 hours before we feed them. We would get up right then if our kids were hungry. If our children were sick, we wouldn't give them medicine in 5 years. You know, we give them something right then. And if that doesn't work, we take them to the hospital right away. We don't make them wait. But we've been trained by religion to think that if we're hurting and we pray, well, he'll do it. And again, he might not do it at all. It might not be his will. Maybe God wants to teach us something through our pain. Can you imagine if one of our children was hurt? Okay, good example. Let's say your child's learned how to ride a bike and he falls off a bike and skins his knee, chips a tooth, whatever, and we don't go take care of him. Son, I want you to learn something about his pain. What? If somebody hurt us, if another person heard us say that to our child, they'd call the cops on us for child abuse, for child neglect. But we've been trained to think that when we're in pain, our Heavenly Father wants us to just go through it and learn something.
I want you to hit that when Jesus was dealing with the man at the poolside, because I want you to go back to that name, because the now was there, but religion and tradition had him waiting for 38 years and nothing was happening. I want you to hit that.
Yes, the man at the pool of Bethesda. He wasn't just crippled for 38 years. He had been by that pool for 38 years. And like you talk about how like religious tradition teaches you to wait, he was so wrapped up in tradition that even though his legs didn't work, he didn't crawl to the pool. When Jesus came to him and said, do you want to be healed? What did he say? He said, I try to get there, but no one will pick me up and carry me there. And so Jesus asked him again, do you want to be healed? And the man gave an excuse. And Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Religion takes away, how can I say this? Religious spirits, religious tradition takes away our ability to act and our ability to respond to faith. We put it all off on God. Religion teaches us to put everything off on God, even our decisions. Jesus asked the man, do you want to be healed? And he said, No one's picked me up and taken me to put me in the pool.
And how does God name me?
Now.
Jesus,
right. So the now is coming to you saying, do you want something to happen now? And he's like, I don't have anybody to help me. That's not what Jesus asked me. That's not what Jesus asked. Do you want to be healed? So Jesus told him, man, just get up, pick up your mat, and go home. And if you take a look at religious tradition, you see, that's the thing that religion hates. Religion hates the power of God being displayed now, because when the power of God shows up, it exposes religion as false. Because religion teaches us to pray and wait. All religious teaches us to pray and nothing's going to happen, just learn to live with it. There are actually denominations in the church that teach that the supernatural power of God is not for today. So what are we supposed to do? Trust the hands of man? That's what they're saying. Good Lord. Right,
because it points you to man, it points you to government.
Yeah, it points you to man, points you to government, and it points you away from God. Religious tradition always pulls you away from the power of God, because the now exposes religious tradition. When Jesus told the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he basically told them to finish what I started. So when Jesus died and rose from the grave, he left us, here's what he left us. He left us his blood, he left us his name, he left us his anointing, and that armor of God that Paul talked about, that was Jesus' armor. Mm-hmm. Jesus left us his battle clothes to deal with principalities and powers. So Jesus left us everything we need to go finish what he started, but a few hundred years later, religious tradition crept into the church and said, nope, do it later. And so religion has been teaching the body of Christ for the past 1,700 years to pray and wait. Remember when Jesus said, don't say that the harvest is in 4 months. The harvest is now. Therefore, pray for laborers to go get the harvest now. Mm-hmm. Jesus was telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel now. Lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover now. Take a look at the book of Acts. Yeah, the sick shall recover. Take a look at the book of Acts and see if the apostles prayed and nothing happened. Peter walked by people and the anointing on him was so strong, he didn't have to lay hands on them. He walked by them and they got up.
Shadow anointing.
His shadow carried power. Jesus said, those who believe on me, you'll do the same works I did and greater. Jesus walked by folks and they didn't get healed. They had to touch him, or he touched them. Peter walked by him and them being in shadow's distance was enough. That's the greater works. But religious tradition crept in the church and said, no, later.
It tries to take away your boldness. You know, I think of the apostles, and they were told not to speak in that name.
Yeah.
Don't speak in that name. And then what did they do? They had to make a decision for their life when the religious structure, when the government was saying, I'll let you out of prison, but don't speak in that name.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They made the decision. They made the right decision. They said, you know what? Not only are we going to speak in that name, but we're going to do it boldly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what the Pharisees were saying, don't speak in that name because the name of Jesus means now.
Yeah.
Don't speak in the name of now. Speak later. If Jesus had come preaching that God was going to deliver us later like all the other preachers, nobody would have had a problem with Jesus. Because religion teaches us to wait and it's okay. Jesus said, no, you ain't got to wait anymore. The kingdom is here. Yeah. Whatever you need, come to me and you get it now. The Pharisees got, well, actually the people, not even the Pharisees, the people that he grew up with, because he was in his own synagogue. Mm-hmm. That's where he grew up. The people who've known Jesus since he was a child, when he said today the scriptures fulfilled, the people who knew him as a child tried to kill him. Because religious tradition hates now. Everything in religion has to be later. Because if things start happening, this is something my spiritual papa used to always say. He say, I'm trying to preach myself out of a job. Pastor Rick used to always say that. I'm trying to preach myself out of a job. If you hear and receive what I'm saying, the Spirit of God will begin to move in your life, and I don't need to preach anymore.
Yeah.
What did Paul say about the fivefold? God has given the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints for what? The work of the ministry.
Yeah.
Well, if the saints believe that the work of the ministry ain't supposed to happen until later, they never get perfected.
Yeah.
But if the fivefold is preaching, you have to wait, then nothing happens. Which is what's been happening for 1,700 years.
Yeah.
You know? If we believe there's no more prophets or apostles. You know, right. I went to several Bible schools, and one of the last ones was a Baptist Bible school. Well-known California, knows many of the writers in the bookstores. Like, you know, it's been around for a long time. And, you know, I had conversations with him about he believed, you know, in cessationism, or that he didn't believe that there are apostles and prophets. Well, that's supposed to be the foundation of the church according to the New Testament.
Yep.
So, but these, and it was a training center. It was a training center for many years, you know. And so we have to be careful about the tradition that men are trying to get us to live by.
Yeah. Let me say this right quick, man of God, because I wanted to get back to that boldness that you were talking about. But let me say this, since the woman of God brought it up. You know, you see prophets in the beginning of the Bible. Jesus said that, and don't take my word for it, look it up. Jesus said that Abel was a prophet. You see prophets at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. And so religion blinds you. And because if there's prophets at the end and there's prophets at the beginning, then there's prophets in the middle. And so don't let these religious demons, we won't focus on the people, but don't let the religious demons blind you to the truth. I want to get back to that because there are things that operate with faith, you know, compassion. When Jesus got off the boat, the Bible says all these people were, he was getting off the boat. You had thousands of people there. At one time, I think it was like 5,000, but that wasn't including the women and the children.
Right.
And compassion drove his faith. Boldness, we look in the Bible, boldness will drive your faith, confidence. And so there are some things that go with the faith. And I want you to hit on that because, you know, I even seen you yesterday as you were praying for, you know, a person. And I saw how bold you was and to, you know, to exalt the healing power of God. Go ahead.
Yeah, boldness. That's one of the, you know, the book that I'm writing. We're trying to figure out a name for it. But we're talking about the characteristics of the now generation. And one of the characteristics of the now generation is boldness.
Yeah.
And the reason why you can have boldness is because you know that when you open your mouth, someone's going to back you up.
Yes.
And it's not going to back you up 10 years from now.
Right.
Just stop and think about that, sir. What kind of boldness do I have to pray for you and say, Jesus will fix it after a while?
Give the doctor's wisdom.
Or give the doctor's wisdom, which God does give the doctor's wisdom because right. God can't move that way, but God would rather do it right then because that's what glorifies him.
Because that's what some people faith is in.
Right.
I mean, it's like their faith is in the doctors. But you know, when you know, I've talked to people like, yeah, I'm having my operation. Well, God may want to heal you today. Let's pray now. You know,
let's pray now, yeah. Right? And when you say that, it shocks people. It scares people. They don't know what to do with that. Well, that's all right. They say, that's all right. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Like, the now terrifies us because religious tradition has trained us, and I'm saying trained on purpose. We've been trained, sir. Religion has trained us to think that waiting is okay. And Jesus said, now that I'm here, oh my goodness. John the Baptist came preaching repentance. Jesus came preaching repentance. He sent his apostles out, his disciples out, preach repentance. The word repent does not mean to not sin. The word repent comes from a Greek word which means to reconsider and to think again. Mm-hmm. Think about that. It means to think again. Whatever you've been thinking, think again, which means you've been given new information. So Jesus was saying, all of you hear my voice, repent. Whatever you think you know about God, think again, because now I'm here. I'm going to show you something.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been trained to think that you can pray and wait 500 years. No, I'm here now. Think again.
Yeah.
Come to me. Come to me and believe my words, and whatever you need, you get it right here on the spot in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That's what got the religious establishment so mad. The reason why the Pharisees and the religious establishment hated Jesus is because when people came to him for help, he helped them right in front of everybody. And power exposes weakness. Strength exposes weakness. Boldness exposes cowardice. Okay? Anything that happens in the now exposes, wow, this just happened now. That means all the other stuff is not necessary anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know, what you're saying is so good because, God, sometimes we don't understand the nature of God, and Jesus showed us the nature of God because you could, if you're reading the Bible, and there are some people put God in a box as far as his nature, and yesterday I was telling the people, I said, you know, and I really want to go there, but I don't want to take any time from you. But what God does is that God allows the enemy. He's the killer. He's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God is absolutely good. Oh, glory to God. And so anyways, that I'll have to teach on that some other time. Praise the Lord. But go ahead, man of God. I don't want to
Acts 10
from this message.
Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went around doing good,
Healing
all the oppressed of the devil. Let's stop about that. He went around doing good. So doing good means not making people wait, because Jesus didn't make nobody wait for anything. Blind people came to Jesus and he opened their eyes. That was good. What would be good for a blind person to come to Jesus and he said, God will hear you later. What would be good about that? What's good to, okay, Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. What's good news to a poor man? Your poverty's over. What's good news to a blind man? Your blindness is over. What's good news to a deaf man? Your deafness is over. All that stuff is now.
You mean to tell me that blind man that was waiting on the side of the road and calling out Jesus and the folks were saying, wait?
Right. Told him to be quiet. Isn't that something? Jesus, the miracle man. Jesus' reputation was all over Israel. When Jesus comes to town, stuff happens. So Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is coming. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. His friends, quote-unquote friends, told him to be quiet. The miracle man is walking by, and they're telling him to be quiet. Don't get a miracle from the miracle man. Stay blind. And religion always teaches us to stay in our condition and learn to accept it and live with it. Religion tells us to religion tells us to be in pain with a smile. Religion tells us to suffer with a smile. The doctrine of suffering. People don't even know what the doctrine of suffering is. The doctrine of suffering, people that one verse that Peter said, Jesus left us an example that we follow in his steps, and we talk about suffering. Jesus didn't suffer sickness and disease. Jesus didn't suffer. Jesus suffered surrendering his will to the will of the Father, even if it means his death. That's the suffering in the flesh that we do. We submit. We tell our flesh, no flesh, we don't obey you. We obey God. Even if obeying you means that you die, too bad. That's the suffering in the flesh. Suffering in the flesh is not being sick for 20 years. Suffering in the flesh is not being blind and staying blind. Suffering in the flesh is not getting in a car accident, you get a broken neck, and you paralyze the rest of your life. Now, those things happen, but that's not the will of God, because it wasn't the will of God when Jesus was here. We have to take a look at the four Gospels and take a look at how Jesus ministered to people, because Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father's like, take a look at me.
Yeah, yeah. I want to take time to, prophetess, for you to begin to pray for the sick as the Lord leads you. I got this unction in my spirit to have you to do that. And so anyways, begin to let the Lord use you and begin to pray. There are people listening to the radio broadcast that have been waiting for years. Oh, glory to God. Go ahead.
Yes, praise God. Well, we know that Jesus came and that he brought our answer. Jesus is your answer. You know, the one thing, whenever I come up against a situation or some kind of thing in my life that needs an answer, and sometimes it is, I need a healing in a certain area, I know that that answer is already there. And so I begin to pray and thank him for, you know, it says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I begin to pray for him to lead me to that answer that's already been provided. So today, Father, we thank you for your generous, generous provision. We thank you that you are so generous to us that even when we made bad decisions back in that Genesis situation, that you sent your son. And we believe your son this morning.
Yes.
We believe that he died on that cross for us, and that when he did that, that he healed our sickness, that he healed diseases, and that was laid upon him. That was laid upon him so that it wouldn't be attached to us. You know, my spiritual father said that the devil will try to send you packages, you know, and sickness is one of them, you know, like a FedEx, you know, but he said you can return to sender. So don't claim that sickness. Now, we understand that there are physical things that happen to us. So we do seek God for the answer in those areas, you know, even when we have kids, you know, things can happen to our kids. But God has already provided the answer. So today, Father, we thank you that provision of Jesus coming and dying for our healing, that it comes upon even these listeners right now. I thank you that the blood of Jesus just goes from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet.
Yes.
And chases out that sickness, that we don't receive that sickness. We tell it to go.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Yes. And we command that disease to go. In Jesus' name. And we let go of it now. And we thank you, Father, that you've brought provision. And we receive that provision of healing today. And we hold on to that provision. You know, a man of God that's well known for healing, he said, it's one thing to receive a healing. It's another thing to maintain it. You have to hold on to that provision. You know, my spiritual father would say in certain wars, it's one thing to take a city, it's another thing to maintain that. So maintain it. Don't let what God has given you be stolen from you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for healings today. We thank you for diabetes, for cancer. We command it to go, and
Lord,
for those bodies to be healed and to be made whole.
Yes.
Honey, I feel like you should pray.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus right now, we speak. We use our words. We speak and say, cancer, you have no right to stay, because Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for that. This is something I need to say really, really quick. The body of Christ has no problem believing in salvation happening instantly, but they got a problem with healing. They're one and the same, okay? The Bible says that Jesus' blood was shed for our sins, but his body was broken for our sickness. If you look in the natural, You cannot see bloodshed until the flesh is broken first. That's why the Last Supper is bread and wine. Jesus said, this is my body. Take it and eat it. Mm-hmm. He ordered them to take this. Yeah. This is my body, which is broken for you.
Yeah.
So in the same strength that Jesus commands us to repent and be born again, he commands us to be healed.
Yes.
You can't separate the flesh and the blood.
Yeah.
Because what does it say? The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when the flesh is broken, the blood comes out. So we can't jump and shout about the blood, but then whisper about the flesh. Okay?
And what deals with the flesh? Speaking in tongues is one thing that deals with the flesh.
Yes, it does.
Speaking in tongues, so that's not something we need to wait for. That's something that God, that when Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, but also that we would have a free-flowing communication with our Father.
Yes. Amen, amen. Yes. Well, we are out of time. Praise the Lord. But God is good. We thank God that you're healed. And open your mouth and declare that you're healed in Jesus' name. Tell somebody, I'm healed. Do it by faith in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for you. Oh, glory to God. Now, give your email address real quick, man. Okay. God.
Email address is globalawexperience@gmail.com. GLOBALAWE experience. EXPERIENCE. @gmail.com.
All right. Praise the Lord. We love you, and we will see you tomorrow. God bless.
God bless.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Again, those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI 57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Address is 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
You're listening to WWBC, 99.9 FM Cocoa, 94.7 FM Rockledge, and 100.7 FM Melbourne, Palm Bay, and the beaches. Thank you, Lord.